welcome to episode 471 of the Pop Culture Roundtable, the podcast that's giving you a little bit of love and a lot of bit of thunder. In this episode, we talk about The Old Man, Thor Love and Thunder, and Big Fat Quiz of the Year. I'm Andrew Sale.
I'm Lauren Rubin.
I'm Patrick Hill.
So get ready to rock out to another episode.
Sweet child of mine.
We like to kick off every episode by going around the table, which is where we talk about things that are new, fun, and noteworthy about our week. So can I first say that what is noteworthy about our week this week is that we're all back together. I know it's just been hit or miss over these last few weeks. There's been lots of traveling, lots of back and forth, but we are all here. It feels like family is back together, but in a more real way, it's better than that. Because when my family gets together, I don't feel good. So this is a situation where I'm actually glad. Lauren, okay. Why don't you kick off our round the table? We didn't see you last week. Let's hear about what's going on.
Yeah, so you didn't see me last week because I was in Denver. I did the Denver Fan Expo, which is a new convention for me. But it went really, really, really well. It was excellent. So definitely signed up again for next year already. But it was really fun. I wouldn't say there's not anything like particularly like special about this. It's based the same as any other convention, but like a ton of people showed up. It was really fun. Like people were just really nice there and like definitely had a good time. I think they were telling me that like the previous year was like a Halloween weekend, so like a lot of people couldn't go and stuff, for like it's overlapped a lot. So I think a lot of people came out to like and were like really excited to get their convention back, basically. So it was a great weekend. And I brought a couple things home. Never make it home empty handed. But I'm just kind of narrowing it down and I'll go quickly. So our buddy that y'all know too, Andrew Heath, he's actually the one who recommended this convention to me. I got this cool little Game Boy thumbs up pin from him.
Oh, love it.
I love Andrew. I really like Andrew's like pins. I mean, I like all of his stuff, but I have nearly all of his pins. Andrew was actually like, I made friends with him because he was like literally across from me at the very first convention I ever like tabled at. So he's always been cool and really nice and give me advice and stuff. So love you, Andrew. You're the best. And then I got this cool Mothman pin from Crescent Creepers. I love a lot of their stuff. I have some of their other posters. I just went with this little pin, and mainly because I have not seen this style of pin, and I'm always interested in pin technology, basically. So what's interesting about this is that they did like basically like a soft enamel pin and dyed the metal all red across the pin, and then screen printed the design in black and white on top of it. So it's like completely flat. And it's not
all of this
enamel.
None of it is embedded. Yeah. None of it is embedded.
Yeah, so it's all like on top of the pin. It's probably really hard to see on camera, but so just I think this is a beautiful pin anyway, but it's just a different technique kind of than I've seen. So I'm assuming that the black and white are both screen printed on top of the red pin is how they would do it. But I think it's cool, and I haven't seen that before. So just always think, like I said, always kind of watching for different pin ideas. I think screen printing is cheating in some ways, but this is kind of such an innovative way to do it that I'm like, oh, it's kind of opens my mind up a little bit. So I mean,
go ahead. Screen printing is probably, so there was a Jaws pin that was shared. I think it was Jaws was the, right above your computer, I guess. Why don't you go and show it?
That one is by Lively Ghosts. But I think I told you all about this one.
Yes. This would not be possible. There are screen printed elements on top of that. Like all of the accenting around the bottle and stuff like that, that's all screen printed. And that's a case where it's awesome.
The ship is screen printed. Yeah.
I think screen printing can be used for great effect, but sometimes I feel like it's kind of cheating, but it's weird made up rules in my head I have about pin designing. Right. And it's just my feelings on that. It's like part of the challenge is trying to make it super tiny and not use extra details. So just something different, always on the lookout for that. And Crescent Creepers has great stuff, so I recommend checking out. Andrew, she has a really cool Ninja Turtles print that I almost bought that's like a cutaway of the like sewer. I literally, yeah. I just like,
what
I
she
didn't
means
have
to
a
say
way.
Is she didn't buy it for you.
It wouldn't fit in my suitcase and I was going to bend it, but I want you to know about it. It's very cool. So it's like a cutaway of the sewers and it's like all the levels and they're like all doing different like activities on each level, like all their cool.
When Patrick starts talking, can you drop a link to it in chat?
Yes, yes. Cool. I will find it for you. And then I got a couple of posters. I got this cute, like, Our Flag Means Death print. They're all the little characters. I love the style.
Yeah.
It's very simple, but you can recognize everyone, like, instantly.
They look a little scary, and don't they?
They have, like, yeah, scary
I think it's
eyes.
The blank eyes. Yeah. But yeah, that's just, like, this artist's scary. Style.
Okay.
It's just how this artist draws most things. And I also have this cool Nebula print that she did. She had series of comics. It's actually how I found this artist, where it's, like, Nebula wins the day. And it's, like, this really cute series where it's just, like, her getting little wins while she hangs out with like Iron Man or the Guardians and stuff. But I just think it's really cool. So
it feels very Spider-Man.
I was going to say she would do an incredible spider, like a Miles Morales. Yeah. That would be awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. I like this artist a lot. If you want to look her up on Instagram, it's Cuddlesworth_art. I don't know like her real name, unfortunately, but really great stuff. Super fun. I like that style. She has a lot of Dungeons and Dragons stuff too, which is fun to see.
Do you think her name is not Cuddlesworth.
It's Cuddlesworth. Yeah, that's her first and last name.
It might be Cuddle S. Yeah. Worth.
Cuddle S.
You're right. It could be.
Her middle name is Sarah. Cuddle Sarah.
How presumptive of me.
How presumptive.
Yeah. And then I got this Labyrinth print by Anne Marcelino. I think this is really nice. She had a lot of, like, literally wanted every single thing on her table. She likes all the same movies and TV shows I did. We talked for, like, 45 minutes. So she's a really great artist to check out. And then I feel like a jerk because I did not get this artist's name because I didn't have my phone with me and they only had a QR code at their booth. So I couldn't take the name, but I really like this.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Like, Ahsoka print.
That's beautiful. Yeah,
and it's on this kind of, like, pearly paper. So it's a little shiny. I don't know if you can see in the video, but really nice print. I will try my best to look up the artist's name. I couldn't find it because it wasn't spelled the way that I remembered it was. And then I didn't make it back with my phone to take a picture of their booth. So
I have a question. Is it Dr. Cuddlesworth?
Like it.
No, not Dr. Cuddlesworth on Instagram is not. It's a private account. So I don't
Cuddlesworth
think
underscore art.
Okay. 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 Okay.
I will give you a link right now because I pulled it up to check this before we started. Okay. Yeah. So, that was great. I love Denver Comic Con. We stayed a couple extra days in Denver, which is why I wasn't back for Monday, which was, it was honestly nice to not have to like run out. Normally, like when I'm doing an out of town convention, I need to leave Sunday night because we're paying for an extra hotel room and everything. But I was lucky enough to stay with my friend Kat's brother. Kat has been on the show before, if you'll remember from Pondering Potter. We were staying with her brother and he was nice enough to like let us stay at his house a couple extra days. So we just got to like enjoy Denver and we did Meow Wolf, which one of you guys went to this, I think.
No,
right?
we were talking about going because it's coming. There's one coming to Houston.
Oh, okay. Okay. So yeah, I got to go to the one that they have permanently
the original.
In Denver. I don't know the like history, but wow, Meow Wolf is like freaking crazy. It was like so much fun. We spent the entire day there. It's you could get like so completely lost in this thing. And like if you're not familiar what Meow Wolf is, it's sort of like the City Museum in St. Louis is the closest thing that I can compare it to, but it's sort of like a giant like playground or magic house type of thing where like it's, you know, like big enough for adults and everything. It's maybe, I would say more geared towards adults than kids, even though kids are there and everything, but it's like a giant art installation playground thing. And you like can explore everything. Like there's literally things that like touch all your senses that you need to like use to like solve this like kind of deeper mystery that's involved. You don't have to get into this mystery if you don't want to. You could completely ignore it if you want to. And to be honest, it was so complicated that like I got a fraction of it from like what we were doing. But like I think unless you went there multiple times and paid for like the like Explorer Pass or whatever it's called, like to unlock more stuff, there's no way that you could figure all this out in one go. There's just no way. Because like there's even things where like if you come at a different time, you'll hear different voices talking to you on the phone and things like that. So like
interesting.
There's all kinds of weird stuff. And so like, yeah, I was like so impressed with this. Like I definitely kind of had one thing in my head going there thinking I knew what to expect. I was so wrong. It's much more immersive than I expected. And like each room is so unique and like, it's just really fun. Like, new dream job might be just designing a room at any Meow Wolf, anything. Cause it would be so much fun to like invent all this stuff and like make it interactive. Like,
well,
this
it's gonna be in your backyard. Like,
yeah. I'm so excited to like that. There's going to be one in Houston. Do you know if it's like permanent or if it's like,
yeah, no, I think like, there's two locations coming to Texas and they're both, sweet. I believe,
Houston,
permanent locations.
One in Dallas, right?
Yeah. I think, yeah.
That's so funny because I would definitely, like, if I was, like, an outside person, probably pick Austin. Feels more, like, weird, like Meow
maybe,
Wolf is.
Maybe
but, like,
Austin is already...
It's too expensive is what I'm going to bet because this takes a massive warehouse. Like, this building this was in was so big because, like, at one point we were thinking, like, why don't they have this in New York? It's like, oh, because you could never get a building big enough to host this.
That's where the saying it takes a village comes from.
Yeah. Meow Wolf. But yeah, absolutely incredible experience. If you ever have a chance, I'd say just you should go. Like, it's totally worth the price of admission. It is so incredible. So just fun. Like, even if you just walk through it quickly, just seeing everything, it's like a beautiful like art installation. So like really just like hats off to those people because like, wow, Meow Wolf is like such a cool experience. Totally 100% recommend it. And then since I've been home, I have been getting ready for another convention. I've got Comic Palooza coming up this weekend. So that's my hometown convention here in Houston. So that's like honestly like one of my favorite ones because like you don't have to stress about traveling or any of that stuff. Plus, it is like a great convention. So got lots of plans for that. I have costumes every day. And I've been spending a lot of time working on a fun new Stranger Things outfit. So I'm actually I've kind of done versions of this where like Hopper. I like kind of dress.
Vecna Ahoy.
Sort of. You'll see. So I did Scoops Ahoy before, and I love doing things where I can kind of transform my booth into like something that's also like a costume. So like I've done Scoops Ahoy before. I did Nook's Cranny last year and went really big because it was like at Comic Palooza. So I had like full tents and everything. But then for this one, I made like I'm gonna make my booth the Hellfire Club on Sunday. I have a whole outfit and everything. And I made a like I took the Hellfire Club logo and like replaced Hellfire Club with Not Cool Co. So I'll have like that banner on the front of my table and stuff instead of my usual one. I made some really fun decorations. And then there will also be this really fun kind of D&D game that I invented. So like every time you make a purchase at my booth, you will get a chance to roll the dice. And depending on what number you get, you'll get a different kind of prize that goes along with the Stranger Things theme. Yeah.
What's
so I have
awesome
like.
Is that. If your booth looks shitty, then it will just look like high schoolers did it, which is on theme.
Yeah.
So it has to look amazing. It's impossible to do a bad job.
And honestly, if it's too good, it'll look too good. So, you know, make it look a little bit crappy.
I might be verging on too good because it's like it's still organized. But I found like I have some lights and stuff that I'm going to use. So like I just really wanted to like have fun with it and do something special. So then speaking of which, Stranger Things came out while I was away, or Stranger Things 4 Part 2 or whatever. Mm-hmm. we have a conclusion to season 4. And we did talk about this quite a bit in the like first half of this season. I think that this was a great season. Great season. I think maybe and I've heard this complaint from other people that this ending felt more setup-y than other. I mean, no spoilers, by the way. Like, it felt more like a setup for things to come in the future than other seasons have, and I do agree with that. But I don't think it's a bad thing because we know that the next season will be the last season. So setting up using the, like a season to set up something much bigger for the final season completely makes sense to me. And I'm just like super like high on Stranger Things right now. Like I watched those last two episodes like twice. Since I got home, and like I just think it was like a really great season, and it's a great show.
You watched eight hours of the same show, which I guess isn't that weird when you say it now? Because I've
watched whole seasons of Game of Thrones in one day. So.
Yeah, that's not the, I said it out loud, I'm like, oh, I do that all the time. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, we've both finished it. I personally did not like the second part as much as I liked the first part. I described it as if the first part was building like this, the second part just flattened out for me. And
it didn't dip off.
I can see that. It definitely like,
it just
went down in my opinion.
No, it did, but the point is like, you know, every episode I'm getting more and more excited, and then you get to those two and it was just flat. So I wasn't a big fan of it, but it didn't affect me enough that I wouldn't be like super excited to jump into the last season.
Can we all agree, without spoilers, can we all agree that Eddie was the absolute best addition to this series that could have possibly happened?
He's a sweetheart. Did you see what happened to him over the weekend?
No.
The Doja Cat thing?
Okay, wait. Maybe you tell me what you're talking about.
Are you do you not know about this story either?
Tell me this story.
Okay, so like apparently Doja Cat has a crush on that actor who plays
What is Eddie. A Doja Cat? Is that a YouTuber?
She's a rapper.
Oh, cool. All right.
Pretty famous rapper, I would say.
Can I be honest? When I first, you know, like Doge, like the Shinu Ibu or whatever it is, the dog?
Yeah.
When I heard of Doja Cat, I just thought that was like the cat version 100%.
That's exactly what I thought.
Was,
okay. I was introduced to her through her, one of her music videos.
Who has threatened to quit music because of like online like harassment on Twitter and stuff, but hasn't done it yet. But anyway, continue.
She's kind of like weird online.
She's a hip hopper.
So,
okay, but she likes Eddie.
Okay,
you don't have to sound like you're 80 years old. Like, I don't know.
Anyway, so yeah, she has a crush on the actor who plays Eddie. For some reason, she DMs Noah Schnapp, the kid who plays Will, and is like, hey, give him my number. And he thought it was like a joke. So he posted it like her message asking for his number or whatever, like on his social media. And she lost her mind, saying that he like exposed her and that this is a big deal. And it's like, no, don't pick on this little kid. First of all, you're an adult. He's not. And second, plus, like you're weird enough to like ask him to ask his friend who you're famous enough to just email him on your own outright anyway. So I don't understand why you're trying to go through this kid. It's just really bizarre.
Can I be honest? Of everyone on the cast, he is the last person I'd want as my wingman to try to pick someone else up on the cast.
Will?
Wait, who? Well, Will?
That's the worst choice.
He's the most oblivious, at least.
He's much more charming.
Yeah, but of all the characters, he's for sure the most oblivious. I think we've learned that in this season.
So the story I was referring to, and I hope I don't mess up the details.
No, I would least like to have Mike. He would be the worst wingman of all time.
But the story
I was thinking Mike. Sorry. Go.
Yeah, Mike would be the worst. Will's characters.
I got it.
Okay, so Eddie, who's played by Joseph Quinn, he was at, you know, some type of like Comic-Con style event. It came across as one of these like meet the stars type event. And apparently the story that I understand is that they oversold his meet and greet that he was supposed to do. He was not able to finish in time. Like, he had X number of people he had to get through in a very small amount of time. Allegedly, he got yelled at by some of the event staff or something like that for going too long in his meet and greet. Something happened anyway. So then fast forward to the following day, he was doing an onstage QA, and a girl that was asking a question said, and you can find this video online. I did watch this video. And this girl basically said, hey, heard about what happened yesterday. Just want to know you to know that we all love you. We're sorry that happened. We're so glad you're here. You're one of our favorite characters, or this, that, whatever. He started crying on stage, like during this QA. And so you can go watch. That's the thing I was referring to.
He is an absolute sweetheart.
I love him even more.
Yeah. I know.
Yeah.
Him and Dustin, I didn't think there could be a more loving relationship between Dustin and Steve. And then to see Eddie and Justin,
Chelsea,
I'm like,
I have another older male friend.
Steve's
a better wingman. Dustin's a better
Steve
wingman.
Would be great.
Like, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Anyway,
Eddie from Stranger Things, Doc. It's Joseph Quinn, I think, is the actor. Yeah,
just, I was getting confused because I was like, I know Steve's actor's name is Joe Keery, and I was like, I know that it's Joe something, and it's not that. So,
if you just type in his name into Google, the first thing that pops up will be that video. So,
I'll be really curious to see whatever that actor does next, because like I thought he was really great in Stranger Things. I feel like he is like top of the internet right now. So like, whatever he decides to do next will be interesting.
Unless they ask him to cut his hair.
He doesn't have,
he
long
doesn't
hair
have
now.
Long hair in real life. Yeah.
Well, I don't like him anymore then. Thanks, guys.
Over.
I was a little disappointed when I realized that was a wig. I'm like, oh, he's so much cuter with the long hair.
Okay. We do know you like a scruffy boy.
Scruffy boy, yeah. Yeah, yes. If you want to hear more about that, then listen to this week's episode of After the Film.
So speaking of scruffy boys, I watched The Bear.
Yes.
Which Patrick recommended the last time I was on. And I really like the show. I've been like...
Did you finish
deliberately
it?
Trying... Yeah, I've been deliberately trying to not binge shows lately because I just feel like it's kind of a shame to like... You know, like the people who make it put so much work into it and then you're just like done with it in a matter of hours. But I was so into this that I just kept watching. I was like, oh, just one more. And they're like little half hour, you know, bites. So it was just like so easy to just blow through the whole series really quickly. And I really, really liked it, though. I thought it was like excellent, lived up to everything that you said, Patrick, like totally lived up to all the expectations. I can't believe how like incredibly nervous I felt watching it. Like it, yes. Like literally the first like three episodes, like I did have to like hit pause a couple times and just like walk away for a second. Cause I feel like it was just like making me like the way that it's shot and stuff. Like I really don't like when people yell at me. So it's just like making me feel like so anxious. I was just like, I need a second to breathe. Like
one episode,
not feel this nastiness.
There's one episode that's shorter than the other ones. And Becca and I watched the series together. And after it ended, I said, wow, that was really short. And I was like, you know what, though? I don't think I could have handled three more minutes of how intense that episode was. Like, that one particularly was, like, on a high octane the entire time. And I don't think I could have handled more than what they gave us in that episode.
I think that it actually, like, hits a perfect balance being, like, 30 minutes, partially because of the intensity of like, what they're doing. But also, like, the story that they're telling is pretty intense. Also, is like, heavy and dramatic. Like, kind of what we were talking a lot with Ragnarok, like, the happy-sad balance is in effect here, where that's, like, they're talking about some really heavy things, but kind of wrapping it in a package that's a little funnier, you know? So really, really, though, enjoyed this show. I'm curious to see what season two will be like. It does, like, wrap up so neatly that I'm like, oh, I don't know. Like, this is a really beautiful little nugget here.
As much as I loved it and would want more, I actually don't know if I really do want more.
I just want to, like, hang out with those people. They were fun. And so, like, that part of it, I'm like, oh, I'm a little sad it's over. But, like, it is kind of, like, a really great little story the way it is.
We watched it in 2 days. We watched all eight episodes in 2 days because it was just so captivating, and the writing is so good, and it's so visceral. It's so visceral, and it definitely plays like Chef, like you talked about, like it had some Chef vibes, but it actually had more, some of the intensity of it felt like it played more like that movie where Bradley Cooper plays the fine cuisine chef. Oh, yeah. Burn, maybe.
Burnt, I think.
That's it. Yes.
Something like that, yeah.
It felt like it had a little bit more play like that. And, oh, gosh, the cinematography, the writing, the actors just killed it. Just really good recommendation. If anyone out there is like me and takes what Patrick says with a grain of salt, this is actually one where it's good. So go,
there we go.
Take us all up on it because we've all now jumped onto The Bear. So
yeah, and I think like another thing that I really thought was like cool is that like, you know, a lot of like, you know, half hour shows are just kind of like dismissed as comedies or whatever. But I think this was like really touching sometimes. Like I was really thinking still about like some things that they have said, and like there's a couple parts in the show where they said things out loud that I've never been able to find a way to explain. Like when he said, like, the sister is asking like why he doesn't like check in on her more, and he's like, because I feel so bad about what's going on with me that I'm afraid you're gonna ask it back.
Yeah, like, yeah, I'm afraid to ask about you because I don't want you to ask about me. And that's
yeah,
real.
I was like I've never been able to explain that feeling ever, and I was like, wow, boom. Like,
yeah,
I think that the show is kind of full of, it's really small thing, they don't make a big deal about this, but I was like, this show just kind of is like ticking some boxes that are really really good, really really good. So I was really into this show, and I'll probably rewatch it soon.
Yeah, and Andrew, I agree with you that the more I think about it, the more I would be afraid of a second season. Because a second season inevitably is like probably, well, more budget, more hands involved, more the desire to raise the stakes, etc. And obviously not beef steaks, but
well, I was even thinking like you could do things because this show is such a kind of like underground hit right now. You could get chefs to be guest stars in episodes and stuff like that, sure. like very easily, I think. I'm like that might kind of make it not special.
That's what I'm saying. I think this is a situation where I think it's kind of the perfect little package for what it is, a perfectly imperfect package, and I don't think you mess with it by adding to it. It's
a big sloppy delicious sandwich of wonderfulness.
Yeah, and I think if it's not nominated for several awards, I'm going to be very disappointed. Very disappointed. It deserves much credit for what this thing is. Absolutely.
Yeah, I agree with that completely. I mean, the Emmys are coming up, but I think this will have to be next year then, because I don't know what the...
Because the Emmy nominations already came out, and I don't necessarily agree with all of them. Yes, so...
I haven't paid too much attention, but Yellow Jacket's got 7 nominations, so I'm happy.
And that's my biggest issue with it. It should have gotten 3. Tops.
Boo. Yeah. Yeah, so that's been my week, really. If anybody's here in Houston, come see me at Comic Palooza this weekend. It is going to be super, super fun. I'm very excited.
Awesome. Let me take it from you, Lauren, because I'm gonna continue that trail a little bit and talk about Maddie Matheson real quick. So in The Bear, Maddie Matheson is the larger tatted guy. He has some early on. You see him fixing, I think, a bread mixer,
and then Fack.
Yeah. And like you see him fixing different things, and you see him cooking later in the show. But on the actual, but Maddie is a chef. He's a Canadian chef. And during the show, Maddie and Coco, I don't know Coco's last name. I think her actual name is Courtney, but they call her Coco. Maddie and Coco worked as the food advisors on The Bear. So anything that you see cook, Maddie and Coco were the ones that were preparing it. They were the ones that showing the actors how to prepare it as well. And in partnership with The Bear. So Maddie has a YouTube channel. He has a show that he puts out. It is awesome and bizarre. The first episode I saw of his show was the chicken fried steak episode. If you want to jump into Maddie's show, jump in there. And it's a bit bizarre world, but in the absolute best way. It's something that I didn't even I would have never even thought food shows could be this way. And it is. But that said, it seems that he's been hired. Maddie and Coco have been hired by AMC's who does The Bear, right?
No, FX.
Well, it's through Hulu.
I'm sorry. FX.
FX.
So it appears they've been hired through FX to produce a YouTube show. They're 3 episodes in, and it's only episodes of food items that are made in The Bear. Wow. So the first episode.
I want those ribs with the risotto. Ooh.
I know. So the first episode, they make a Italian beef sandwich, which is, it's an Italian beef shop. It makes sense. The second episode, they make the spaghetti, which is like the family spaghetti. And then the third episode, they make chicken piccata is one of the other dishes that you actually see what's his name making during the show, like by himself. You watch the up close as he's doing it. But there's 3 episodes so far. The last episode just came out a couple days ago. I assume we'll still get a couple more. Again, these are vehicles to promote The Bear, to promote FX and Hulu and all that type of stuff. But it's just, it's so awesome. They're so fun to watch. They're hilarious. It's frenetic. You're actually learning how to make these dishes that you've been watching. I can't say enough good things about it. Oh, and it's decently irreverent too, which is awesome and fits in line with the show. But again, Maddie Matheson, look him up. He's got a ton of content. Watch some of his other stuff. I'll be honest. Like, I fell in love with him immediately. My wife, Mackenzie, I think just her initial reaction was, how can I get him off my screen as quickly as possible? because like, he yells and he's loud and he's like,
Carmi?
Saying stupid
Carmi
stuff.
Carmi or Fax?
Fax. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And I don't mean within the context of the show. I mean within the context of his cooking channel.
Oh, I see. Okay.
But then once you like watch a couple of videos, he's like really endearing, and then all of a sudden, like, it's hilarious and you love it. So you might have to take some time to fall in love with it. But I will say his normal content is still a bit different than this content that's specifically for the bear. But watch all of it. Look up Maddie Matheson. Check out some of those recipes. We'll definitely be making some.
You posted this video in Slack, and I didn't get to finish watching it, but I really liked like the first like 10 minutes that I did watch. And I was shocked how charming he is, because like in the show, he's not a big character. He barely even speaks. He has like one really memorable line, and that's it. And I was like, this guy, they picked him to do this show? And then after about a minute, I was like, oh, I take it all back. He's hilarious. This is great. Now I see also why they just cast him in the show.
Yeah, I posted the spaghetti episode. That's what I posted before I realized, like, oh, this is a whole series. And I think the series is called, like, Where's the Beef? I think that's the name of the series. But check it out. But watch some of his other content. I'm telling you, his other content, it's like the Cooking Channel version of Meow Wolf. That's how it comes across in some of it. And it like, bizarre, and I love it. Like, I'm just so fully in love with it. So go check that out. The only other thing is iOS 16. Did either of y'all see what's coming out in iOS 16?
Little snippets of it. Like the most notable to me was, well, yeah, go ahead and talk about iOS 16. There's one notable thing to me.
Three things I'll point out. One, you can now edit and unsend text messages.
That's the one that I noted. Yep.
Which is exciting. If you mess up, there will be a tag that says it was edited, or like a note that something was unsent, but the person won't see it. So that's possible. That only works between devices that have iOS 16. So therefore, don't like try to do this with an Android user or someone that has like a previous version.
Still be careful about what you say.
Still be careful. Yeah. Still be careful. Second thing is, and this is going to feed into the first thing. Second thing is this object removal. So if, like, right now, here I am. Look at me, everybody. I'm a person. I have a background behind me. If I was a picture on your phone, you could put your finger on me, and it would cut me out of my background and lift me off my background, and then you could send just that cut out of me if you want to. And it's amazing how well this kind of works. I mean, assuming that you have enough contrast between your foreground and background, but it will allow you to obviously create stickers and things like that from these cutout images. But what's cool is the other thing iOS 16 has is home screen customization. And if with that same idea of this like object separation, if you just have a clock on your home screen, then your clock will appear behind objects in custom photos that you set as your background, which is a really, really cool effect. I mean, it's, you know, I don't know how much any of us will end up using this in day-to-day life, but the fact that on your home screen you can, like, change the font of your clock, you can change the colors of your clock, they have new widgets, and the fact that it'll naturally, like, fall behind foreground images and photos, and it just looks really slick. It looks really cool. Functionally, we're going to be editing text messages. That's what's going to happen functionally.
Yeah.
The object... That's a big one. The object removal piece or the object separation piece, I think, is going to be pretty fun to play with. So that's the other piece, iOS 16, which is now. I'm just waiting for new phones.
When does it come out?
I think you can download the beta now. So I think it's possible to get the beta now. But if you're not going to join the beta program, then I imagine over the next couple months, you'll actually get it. Outside of that, I probably won't be upgrading a phone this year. It looks like all the huge changes will be coming next year. So fingers crossed that we see big changes as far as that goes. But for those that hate the notch, it looks like on the Pro model this year, there won't be a notch anymore. So congratulations.
Hey, look at that.
But yes, those are the only two things for me. Andrew, go and finish this up.
I'm going to be real quick because you guys kind of talked about some of the stuff that I was going to talk about. No, it's fine. The one thing that that I am excited about this week, I came to my office. I guess I'll say two things. I started a new job, and that's one thing. And then the other thing, I went to my other job because I currently have two full-time jobs. For the rest of the summer, I'm rocking two full-time jobs. I got back to my office literally today. Don't know when this got put in there. I have a feeling I know who it was. And actually, I mean, I do know who it was. It was JP, the guy who did all of our shirts for us for Creative South. This was sitting in my office, and I'm going to take this out and show you what was in there. Just little, lovely little little print sitting in there. He's on vacation for the next 2 weeks. He's out. And so I walked into my office and just saw this sitting there. And this is this beautiful print.
Oh, dang.
Holy cow. Look beautiful. At that.
It's absolutely gorgeous. I think he got it from Bottleneck Gallery, if I'm not mistaken.
That's
but there's
really
two
nice.
Versions of this. There's this version, which is the normal screen print. And then he has a lenticular print of the same size. So I'm going to put this behind my Hot Toys Deluxe Mando with Grogu, because it's going to be perfect to sit right behind that on my shelf. So I haven't gotten new prints in a long time. This one looked like it was just beautiful. I don't even know who the artist is. I didn't even see it when it had first come out. Like I don't know how I missed it, but it's beautiful. I'll find a link to it and we'll put it in the show notes, but it's a print of the Mandalorian and Grogu in this really dynamic scene with like laser blasts going past them. Other than that, like I'm not going to talk about anything else right now. I'm going to talk about that new job more in the coming weeks because there's some really exciting, cool, fun stuff going on with that. But we're going to just give that a couple of weeks to breathe and then expect
got
to
at least
hear
a
more
thumbs up though so far.
Yeah, it's very, very cool. Patrick, would you say it's Yay. A thumbs up?
Yes, I would absolutely yeah. say it's a thumbs up.
Been able to already meet with and talk to some really awesome people and expect even more in the tomorrow. I have a meeting with some really cool companies. So, it's cool. And I'll be looking forward to talking more about that in the coming weeks. But I think that's it for now. We don't need to dig too much sure. deeper. It's been a really busy week and, let's talk about some fun stuff. So let's head on over to our master categories. Our master categories each week are when we talk about the dice we rolled the week before. Last week, Will rolled some dice for Lauren. We rolled our dice, but you never got to hear where we were going with our categories because Lauren wasn't here. So this is going to be new information to everybody. Lauren, why don't you start? Yeah, it sounds good to
okay,
me.
Okay, sure.
What was
so
rolled
Will
for
rolled for...
Yeah.
Podcast and YouTube. And so I have actually been spending time on YouTube lately, which is not super typical for me. So when I was in Denver, like I mentioned, we were staying at my friend Kat's brother's house, Steven, and he is super into British TV. So kind of whenever we had downtime, we would either watch Big Fat Quiz of the Year, 8 out of 10 Cats, or... I forget the name of the other show that we watched. I'll think of it in a minute. So basically got like fully immersed. I talked a bunch about Taskmaster because Patrick, you have also gotten me into that show. So yes. basically feels, yeah, like, so like just kind of like British TV smorgasbord is available on YouTube. So I've spent a lot of time when I'm back here watching Big Fat Quiz of the Year because like it is amazing background noise. Like I used to like up until maybe this week I would always say Housewives is the best background noise, but this is even better because it's like very silly funny trivia that you get to enjoy and not need to watch very often. Yes, there are sometimes like physical like comedy things that people are doing, but it's not really the majority of the show. So like I'm really enjoying it as a new like background noise type of show. But so the idea of the show is it is a trivia show. The way that it started, I believe, was it was Big Fat Quiz of the Year. And every year around like between Christmas and New Year's, I think they would air or right after New Year's, maybe they would air the on BBC, the quiz show. And they have like famous comedians and actors that are from I was thinking it was like all British people, but the more episodes I've watched, I'm starting to see some American comedians like wiggle in. So I don't think it's limited to purely British comedians.
Yeah, it's not exactly what you're saying. Although anybody that you see, I think there's only once or twice I've seen someone that maybe that was just like a flat like cameo. It seems like most everybody has been involved in some other like panel show, TV show, et cetera. You know?
Yeah, there are definitely a lot of people that I've seen in either like British Bake Off or Question Time, I mean, sorry, or Taskmaster or like any of these other shows. There's a lot of like crossover with these people, which makes sense to me because I'm sure that they like it's all BBC shows. So they probably like film them all and they could probably get like, oh, James Acaster, can you film like, you know, Big Fat Quiz on Monday, 8 out of 10 cats the next day, whatever. You know what I mean? Like, I could see how that happens very easily. But yeah, so a lot of like people that you will recognize as soon as you start watching it, I think like there's plenty of people that have like very mainstream comedians and stuff. So there are three teams every time, and there are two people per team. And basically, like each round is kind of a different category. So there's like sports, TV and movies, like people, events, YouTube, or like internet stuff. So like kind of like basic trivia categories that all kind of pertain to whatever happened within the year. And it is very funny because sometimes I'm like, oh yeah, this totally didn't happen that long ago. And you're like, oh gosh, that was 2003.
Yeah.
Or, you know, like some of this stuff is like blowing my mind of like the actual time when it happened when I watch it again. So yeah, like they just kind of like go through the trivia. A lot of times the trivia is very difficult, so the comedians don't know answers and they make stuff up, and it's very enjoyable to like hear their made up answers. Especially, I think there are some people who clearly like go on the show just to make up answers and don't even try to answer correctly. They just want to be funny, and that's kind of like why the show is fun. Because like a lot of British TV, they can't win anything because of the show is sponsored with BBC and the government, so you can't win real
it's
prizes.
Just entertainment. So it's just entertainment.
Yeah, it's pure entertainment. So there's not a lot of like stakes. No one gets angry. Like it's just a different type of experience than American TV shows, I think, because what are you going to be mad about? Like,
yeah,
it's by the way, Jimmy Carr does a great job hosting. He's the one that tends to host a lot of these. I'm not a fan of his stand up personally, but in the role of host, he does a great job like, managing everyone. And he's also like the right amount of witty. I think the standouts for me are probably how low ego the entire show comes across.
Mm-hmm.
It's absolutely more vulgar than what you would get on primetime American TV.
Yes.
So just understand that you might hear the C word watching what you would associate.
Or just a lot of sex jokes, a lot of cursing, like they don't bleep anything out or whatever. You know,
the
like
first time I watched an episode of this, I invited several people over and I think I maybe didn't appreciate how different it is to what we're used to. But the other thing is people are just incredibly funny. I mean, it's all very lighthearted.
So
it's
funny.
All there to have a good time. And it's dense. I mean, there's a lot of content. I think we're used to shows.
Yeah, because now. Oh, sorry. I was going to say that, like, now that it is very dense, there's a huge library of stuff to watch. Like, I will never run out because, like, they do have, like, Quiz of the Year for many, many years going back. Yeah. And then you can also now watch Big Fat Quiz of Everything, which I haven't figured out, like, the interval of how often they do that. And then they also have, like decades based trivia, basically, you know, like 80s, 90s, so on. And like all of them are fun to watch. The one that I maybe like thought was the funniest was there was one where they had Noel on there from Great British Bake Off. Mm-hmm. And it was before he was a host on Bake Off, just ripping apart how stupid he thought Bake Off was.
Wow.
Noel Gallagher is so great. Funny. Anytime I see like Richard Iowati, I want to watch it.
I like the two of them together.
Anytime I see James Acaster, I want to watch it. Have you by any chance seen any Would I Lie to You?
No, but I'm going to write it down now.
So Would I Lie to You? It's a combination. One is that they'll bring people in that you don't know who they are, and they'll tell a story, and then then people get to ask them questions. They have to decide if they're lying or not. But what they'll also do is they have two sides, and it's celebrities. It's a lot of the same people you're seeing now you'll see on Would I Lie to You, but they'll have to tell personal question, like they'll get asked questions and have to give personal responses, and then people have to decide if they're lying or telling the truth. And it's awesome. What I would say is the great introduction, James Acaster's on that show, and he talks
He
talks about a feud that he had with a I don't know if it was a neighbor or what, but watch that story, watch that section of it. I think that's a great introduction to the show.
Okay, yeah, I'll definitely check it out. Yeah. But I think like you can literally watch any random episode of this show and just jump in because there's no continuity of any kind. It's just the same people have been there before, but it's not like there's like running jokes of or anything. So like, I highly recommend, just like, if you need some background noise, want to check out something different, like it's very fun, like a very funny trivia show.
Yeah.
That is available for free on YouTube in its entirety. Andrew, why don't you take it?
Okay. So I got TV and present, and I am so thrilled, because I want to talk about this show that I've been watching this week called The Bear. And, I don't know if you guys have seen this, but it's a really good show. On top of The Bear,
I was hoping that's what you're talking about.
Go ahead.
Oh man.
Knowing that I had TV this week and knowing that you had already talked about The Bear, I was like, dang, that sucks, because I really want to talk about this. We talked about it anyway, so that's great. Here's the show I do want to talk about. It's a show I knew very little about, but I listened to a podcast the other day where they were talking to it was the Smart List podcast, and they were talking to the star of the show, and just listening to him talk was so captivating, so interesting. He had such incredible stories, and then him talking about this show, and I had remembered seeing little bits and pieces that this thing existed, but I had no idea what it was. And so I watched this show. This show is another FX joint on Hulu, and it is called The Old Man. And this show stars Jeff Bridges, John Lithgow, and it also stars Aaliyah Schwackett. I think that's how you pronounce her last name. It's maybe.
Schwackett.
Schwackett.
I always say Schwackett.
I was like, just maybe.
Yeah, it's maybe.
It's Schwackett, right? Something.
No,
like
no,
that.
It's just Schwackett.
K-A-T.
Yeah, okay. So Schwackett. Yeah, Schwackett, whatever. But it's maybe from Arrested Development. Those are the three notable casts. There's obviously more people in it, but those are the three that like really that you know grabbed me. I didn't know John. I dove into this without really any knowledge other than knowing that Jeff Bridges was the star of it.
Love Lithgow.
And then to see Lithgow towards the end of the first episode, I was like, yes, like I was so excited. So not knowing what the show is about, I'm going to give you guys more info than what I had going into it, which isn't bad. I don't think it's a big deal. But a lot of this was me discovering it because I had no background. I was watching this show because I knew I had to watch something other than The Bear to talk about for this week. And so I'm so glad that I did. This is a very present show. The episodes are still coming out. A new episode comes out, I believe, Friday. So the episodes are still releasing, and so you can get caught up and actually watch along. But here's the premise of the show. Well, let me tell you how the show starts. The show starts with an old man in getting out of bed in the middle of the night and having what seems to be this, like... senior moment is kind of how they would present it, right? Like he's waking up in the middle of the night, he's getting up probably to pee, and the sink is still on, and like the sink has been filling up and it's overflowing, so he had clearly forgotten, like this is how they're painting the picture. He's clearly starting to lose some of his cognitive faculties. Function, right? And this is what's going on. So he goes to the doctor very early on. He goes to the doctor, and at the doctor, they had run all these tests with him, and he seems kind of like he's spacey, but that's a little bit just Jeff Bridges. He seems like he's a little spacey, and the doctor's like, no, everything's great. You're super healthy. He's like, okay, I just wanted to check. And you come to find out some things that his wife was dealing with, like this dementia before she passed away, and so he's living alone with just him and his two dogs. And then about halfway through the episode, everything takes a turn, like a major turn. And now I will read you the one or two sentence synopsis that you can now find on IMDb. A former CIA officer who's living off the grid finds himself on the run from people who want to kill him. Yeah, didn't know that's what this show was going to be.
Okay.
100%. 100% recommend this show. It is so freaking good. Jeff Bridges kills it literally and metaphorically in this show. John Lithgow plays his FBI handler from years before. So what's happening is some of his past is now catching up to him. He has been living off grid and they have now been able to track him down. And they call John Lithgow's character back into action to head up this case. There's twists and there's turns and it's shot incredibly well. The story unfolds so well. It feels like one of those Bourne movie type vibes. But it's intense, man. Jeff Bridges brings the heat. Like, he's very physical in this show. And I imagine he did a decent amount of his own stunts just based on how they shot, or they did a really good job shooting it. But I think he does. I think he actually is very active in the making of this show. It's kind of like John Wick meets the Bourne Identity or Bourne Supremacy or whatever. It's wonderful. And to give you an idea of how great of a project this is, the first two episodes were directed by John Watts. John Watts of, the Spider-Man Tom Holland trilogy.
Yeah.
He's also the one responsible. He's working on the skeleton crew for Star Wars. And he also has, in looking up his IMDb page, he has an untitled project underway that's George Clooney and Brad Pitt that he's working on with them. And so,
yeah,
real people on this FX show. And it was in watching this show in conjunction with watching The Bear that I realized TV for me has, and I've been hearing this over the last like year or so in listening to different podcasts, TV is where it's at. Like, real actors
right now,
are bringing real performances with real directors, with real effects, all these things on what was before kind of panned as a medium, but now like these are top-notch A celebrities bringing some of their best performances that I've seen in a long time. And 100% recommend The Old Man. It's on Hulu. There's only like six episodes out right now. Five episodes. Yeah, five. I think the sixth episode comes out on Friday. Still early enough to catch it. Yeah. And oh my gosh, do it.
I've heard a couple other podcasts talk about it, and I've heard just like nothing but good things. And I've really just heard about it within the last couple of days because it was coming up in conversation with The Bear because they're both on Hulu.
Yes. Yeah. Hulu is bringing it.
Mm-hmm. And I really agree with you that like TV is just like it right now. Cause it is like so crazy how much stuff has come out in the last like two or three weeks. We've had like Stranger Things, Umbrella Academy, Miss Marvel's still going, The Boys ended, The Bear is great. This show is Only Murders in the Building. Like, there's just so much TV to keep up with right now. Like, I have not finished all of the shows that I just listed because, like, I'm like, it's just really hard.
I haven't even started some of them yet. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Ouch. I forgot, like, also haven't finished, like, the new Star Trek show yet. Like, there's a whole bunch of stuff that's, like, out right now and really great. And
yeah, sorry, what about the fact that it's coming, that comes out tonight is What We Do in the Shadows, season 4 premieres.
Yes, thank you. I was like, I know I'm forgetting something.
Yeah.
It's just, like, there's so much TV right now and, like, all of it is very good. Yes, yes. And, like, all of this stuff is so good, though. Like, I think everything I just listed is all stuff that's, like, on my top list. And then we also have, like, Game of Thrones coming back, Lord of the Rings coming, like, all of these TV shows that, like, look excellent. So we just have, like, we live in, like, TV, like, happiness right now.
Yeah. When the effects and the writing is all as good as any movie that's being put out there. It's making it. The gap has for sure shrunk between being a moviegoer and a TV watcher. So
I was actually thinking this with The Bear, where I was like, because it's so short and I watched it in nearly like one sitting, is there a world where this would have been a movie instead? And would I have liked that more? And I was like, no, because then you can't spend all this time with all these like people who work in the restaurant and get to know all of them, it would maybe only be like three of them. And there's like some jokes with the other people, but like, yeah, they just wouldn't have time to do this in a movie. And like, I appreciate so much that with TV, you get time to spend with these characters that's so much and longer, you know, and you can really make these like deep relationships and like meaningful, you know, changes in the end of the season and stuff. Cause you get to spend so long with the people. Like, yeah, it's very cool. I love all this stuff.
We could go on and on because I have a lot to say, but we ultimately have to end this episode at some point. So The Old Man, watch it. Patrick, take us home with your film.
Yeah, so I have film for this week, and I'm going to be talking about Thor, Love and Thunder. This will be spoiler-free because we actually did a deep dive conversation. We've already recorded. It's an after the film.
And it was awesome.
Yeah, full of spoilers. And that was with the three of us and a special guest, Heather Pink from the Unpopular Disney Opinions podcast. She was fantastic, but also she was at the premiere, the worldwide premiere for the film. And so she brought some stories and information with her joining us. So definitely check that out. That said, you know, I can take a minute to just give you a bird's eye view of the film. And I'll say something here I didn't say in the after the film. And listening to this conversation about TV versus film, I think this is appropriate. The comparison is coming up a lot between Love and Thunder and Ragnarok. I went back and watched Ragnarok again today, so I had it fresh on my mind. It's easy to think about something fondly, especially if you haven't seen it in several years. And I wanted to make sure that I was comparing them as closely as possible, given the discussion I knew we were going to have in the after the film. And again, listen to the after the film to actually know the outcome of that discussion. But one thing that does stand out to me is that Ragnarok feels like a much bigger, grander movie than Love and Thunder. You know, it's not necessarily that if you look at the script, like the script on the page is not necessarily bigger. But from a scale standpoint, the sets just feel huge. They feel
Ragnarok wasn't shot in the volume, was it?
They feel very summer tentpole blockbuster big, right? They feel very Marvel, especially early Marvel big. And when you watch Love and Thunder, in many ways, it feels as light as a TV show. It doesn't have that same whatever. But
Before you move off of that television thing, can I say this? Because I didn't say it during the other episode.
Sure. Yeah, go ahead.
It plays, as I was watching it a second time, it plays like a pocket episode of a series. It doesn't play like it's a grand epic in the true Marvel fashion. It plays like a pocket episode. And I mean that in the sense that what's at stake in this, without giving any spoilers, what's at stake in this is not the universe. The people of the world are not what's at stake. It's only, and this you get this from the trailer, it's only the gods. He has the big bad in this movie has nothing against human race or alien races. It's literally only the gods, which is such a unique pocket episode type thing for a Marvel movie.
And what it does for me is it could easily put you in a position of, oh, well, this is like, you know, X is small compared to Y, or this isn't as good as Y. What it actually does for me is it made Love and Thunder feel so much more like accessible and close and familiar, like immediately. Obviously, we still know the character more and more, but it just felt more comfortable. Like it's the difference in you know, going to some friend you've met once, going to their house and they live in a mansion, versus going to your best friend's house that you've been in, you know, 100 times. That's like the difference in feeling and closeness to the story. Now, this is not an indictment on which is better or worse, but it's just to say that sometimes I prefer the feeling that a quote unquote like TV show gives you, or that a movie of this style gives you, because it's just more comfortable. Things don't always have to be at a huge scale to be impactful. And I think another great example is probably the first Tom Holland Spider-Man is probably another
Homecoming.
Great example. Homecoming is yeah. that it is probably another really great example of small scale is fine. Like yeah. it's okay to take a break from having
a neighborhood baddie, not a global yeah. baddie. Yeah.
That's yeah. okay. And so anyway, so I want to make that note about the film. I did ultimately really, really like the film. I personally strongly recommend it. But like I said, there are four opinions at stake in this after the film. And we spent an hour and a half digging into the nitty gritty of everything. And as a final thing, to give you a tease of what we dig into, Andrew, I think you have a couple of things you want to read. And this kind of frames the conversation of what the after the film touches on. But Andrew, go ahead.
Yeah, so we don't spend a lot of time talking. We don't read these on the other episode. And it's because we wanted to keep things fun. And this has been a polarizing movie. And so, beyond anything that I can understand. But there's one person, there's two reviews I'm going to read. They're both from friends of mine. One of them is a person who I have had a ton of respect for and a ton, like I usually take their word. We used to go see the same movies and feel the same way and have the same way of describing things. In recent past, we have kind of, as most of the country has, we have found a dividing line and we are moving further and further apart every day. But I'm going to read to you his review. I'm not going to tell you who it is, but I'm going to read you his review. And then I'm just going to let it sit for a second and then I'm going to tell you what I think about it. Think of a time when you've been with a group of friends and you wanted to do something, plan or complete a task. Now imagine you being the only person interested in actually accomplishing this task and everyone else goofing off, joking around, and just being clowns the entire time. Well, this is how I felt during much of this movie. Sure, I laughed some, but I got tired of every scene having something of what they considered to be funny. It got old fast, real fast. However, there were some viewers around me that continued to laugh like it was the funniest thing they've seen in a movie. I got the impression that they would laugh at anything, halfway intended to be humorous. Was Thor: Love and Thunder supposed to be a comedy? Even if it was a bad one. This movie was frustrating and the timing was off. It was just weird. It fell short. I was so disappointed. I get being lighthearted with things, but this was just overboard. It was too much comedy, quotes, and way too often. Okay, so this movie wasn't a total clown show, but it came close to it. It had a few windows of drama and maturity, which thankfully provided a break of sobriety. The ratio should have been the other way around. Sadly, in my opinion, when what once used to be a genre of characters to respect and emulate has now become a collection of clowns. I know, you think I'm exaggerating. Maybe I am, but these are my thoughts I had while watching this, the stupidity Marvel has just released. I mean, seriously, I have more respect for Poe in Kung Fu Panda. I'm literally watching the first Thor movie now so I can be reminded of a character who I once thought was cool and of a movie with a story worth knowing. How could this character take such a complete 180? It doesn't make sense. He's regressed. He's not grown wiser. He's grown to be a dork who has these wake up moments of what's going on?
Can I just say I wish all of you could see Lauren's face right now, and yes. probably mine.
I have so many questions.
Wake up moments I'm Thor. It's almost as if he's got multiple personalities. Let's be honest, Odin would be embarrassed. That's his review. Let Patrick say his so that you can stew a little bit more. Patrick, go ahead.
I want to be very clear that opinions are not right and wrong. They're opinions. That said, to in your review attack other theater goers for enjoying themselves is absolutely insane, mm-hmm. and it doesn't display terribly healthy human characteristics. So there's so much wrong with it. Like, I would love to pick that apart piece by piece.
And we're about to, but yeah.
We do address all that in the after the film, even though we're not lining it up to that. We do address all those things. But unfortunately, it just sounds like someone that sat down wanting to be upset and allowed it to be a self-fulfilling prophecy the entire time.
Yes. So. Yes. All right, Lauren.
I wanted to know really badly what is this person's like favorite movie or like, you know, like what movies do they
Kung
like?
Kung Fu Panda, I think it's
what they're saying. Yeah, I think he stated it. It's Kung Fu Panda. It's Kung Fu
Panda. I'm just curious if like, does he like other Marvel movies? Is it like coming from that type of angle or like?
He does, and that like he even says it.
Even which Marvel movies does he like? Like, because
so he said it. He said that he had to go back and watch Thor so that he could be reminded that Thor is actually a character worth knowing and being. How did he say it? Like to be.
Yeah, like a character and story worth knowing. I think.
Yeah, but he talks about how does he word it? To emulate and respect. He needs to be reminded that Thor is a character to be emulated and respected.
See, I think that's hilarious because, like, literally the plot of the first movie is Odin tells Thor, "You suck, get better." And he has to spend the whole movie even being cool enough to own his own hammer.
I feel like the issue is... He's wanting to reach back into these things where Thor was toxic. He was even toxic to himself, and that's why this idea that this movie he was too clowny and he was very emotional in this movie. He wasn't toxically masculine in this movie. He was open with his feelings, and he was very. And it just feels like he can't handle that. He can't handle a world in which a superhero can also have feelings.
It kind of reminds me of like you hear this now where people are like, I want to go back to the good old days. It's like, oh, the good old days where like women couldn't vote. We had like no equality. Like what good old days are you talking about?
Do you mean
about?
Last you know? Week?
Yeah. Yeah, like where like misogyny was acceptable and sexism was acceptable.
I heard this in context of Mad Men once where it was like, the good old days where you could like, you know, go to your job, your secretary, your other girlfriend on the way home and get drunk on the way to work. Who cares? Yeah. Like, it's just like a different type of lifestyle than any of us would consider actually acceptable.
Yeah. We're gonna need a couple claps there for sure.
But to me, it's like,
okay, if you really like Thor 1, obviously this is not in your taste realm. Like, that's like sweet and sour. They're not the same thing. And like, it's okay to like Thor 1 better if that's like what you like, but the yucking of everyone else's yum is a little harsh, and I do think it's a bit extreme to say that no growth whatsoever and stuff, like just very harsh. And then it's just funny that at the end he's like, Odin would be ashamed. I'm like, first of all, we proved that Odin was the number one jerk. That's the whole point of Ragnarok.
Odin in Ragnarok said, "You're more powerful than I am." What are you talking about? Odin loves him. The other The only other thing I'll say is he made the comment, was this supposed to be a comedy? That would suggest to me he doesn't watch many Marvel films.
Yeah.
And although I'm not saying you should go spoil things for yourself, you could maybe watch one trailer, and that would be a pretty big key to those. Or even just the last film. And again, he doesn't actually mean that.
If you had seen Ragnarok, I don't know how he knew.
He doesn't mean that. It's hyperbole. But the idea that coming off of Ragnarok, that...
You would expect it to be less.
Surprised it's not. No. And in fact, here's another thing, too. I mean, this is a fun fact. Love and Thunder's actually surpassed Ragnarok in opening weekend box office sales. And every Thor film has continued to do that. So you can make for anybody that's feeling this way today, you can imagine that if a studio continues to make more money, they're going to continue to give the director even more
freedom.
So guess what? The next one's not going to get serious all of a sudden.
But that's one of my issues with this review is it's not an accurate review. I know you started by saying there's no right and wrong about people's opinion, but he's stating facts about the movie that are just objectively wrong. There is a ton of emotional growth and emotional maturity and depth and dynamics in this character that he is blatantly disregarding. And I think that's I think that's a flawed review. And I think he went into it, something maybe early triggered his frustration, or maybe he went into it already having some sort of bias against it. But it seems like he just got butthurt in the beginning of the movie and just stayed that way and didn't pay any attention to what was actually happening in the story.
Yeah, let me revise, and I wonder if
maybe his audience was annoying because he said they were like laughing. Like, I don't know. Maybe I've been in a situation where people are being
they were enjoying themselves.
Like,
too.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, everyone was laughing the whole time in our theater.
We used to live beside a pool. And when I was depressed, I'd be upset that adults and children were outside having fun. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think that's kind of the feeling.
It feels like. Yeah.
Let me revise what I said, because Andrew, you make a really, really good point. And so I actually do want to walk back what I said. I want to be clear that people can disagree with me about the film, and that's great. And I never want to tell someone they're wrong for not feeling the way I feel about a film.
Right.
The caveat is what you mentioned. There are times when and we're talking about film reviews right now, but I encourage you to apply this to all other aspects of your life.
This transcends movie reviews.
There are times that an argument is so outside the bounds of reality and logic that it should not be entertained. It is unhealthy and dangerous to entertain it. And it's very easy for people to say, well, I deserve to have my opinion too. If you want to have your opinion in this ballpark, you can have an opinion. But if you're having an opinion on a completely different planet, then no, you forfeit the opinion. If the opinion is outside the bounds of reality, you forfeit the opinion. And so I will put that nice caveat on there. Apply that wherever you would like to.
Yeah. Lying is not the same.
Right. For people who hadn't seen the movie and they're looking to him, because again, he's been a voice of respect and wisdom in my life, right? And if there are other people who are like me with him and they haven't seen the movie yet, they might look at this and go, oh, okay, then I'm glad I haven't seen it. And I don't want to put my money towards something that's a waste of time and a waste of whatever. And I don't think that's fair. And it's not just because I liked the movie and he didn't. I think his review is actually... it is not bound, is not based on the actual film that we're talking about. He didn't give it a fair shake at all. And to me, that's indicative of a lot of what we're seeing. I think Patrick, maybe you said this, or someone I was talking to, I think it was you, Patrick, who said that somebody somewhere, somebody who's a critic, an actual film critic, made a statement about this, and there's a lot of people parroting it, and it's like Telephone, where it's just building and building and building, and someone is just taking someone's opinion and making it their own opinion rather than seeing it and forming their own feelings about it based on objective truths about what they're seeing and not just preconceived notions that they're going to read into.
It's what it feels like. And in fact, I know because of the communities I follow, I honestly think it was probably Moist Critical / Penguins because he released a review, I think the same day it came out, that said a lot of the stuff we're seeing over and over and over again. And he feeds into a demographic that we would also see on the platforms we're on. And I don't know if he's like the starting point or if it was someone before him, but he's pretty early on. Now, he wasn't this hypercritical, in fairness. Like, his review, even though I don't agree with it, and I still think that some of the comparisons are unfair, his review comes across as someone that hasn't seen Ragnarok for several years and is still comparing it to that.
That's the one part of this review where I'm like, if you saw Ragnarok, you had to have some expectations based on that. And
that part
is just crazy to me that he didn't think it would be like that. Like,
but that said, like, his review seems like it's too heavily weighted with nostalgia. It's unfavorable, but it's not like crazy. Like it's still in the realm of, okay, it's a critical review. That's fine. But it seems like what happens is that wave just gets like that,
the ripple gets bigger. Yeah.
Just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And then now, 4 days later, people are like, you've killed, you know, like this is like you've murdered my entire family and made me watch. Like, that's how people are talking about it. And it's just insanity at this point.
Anyway, we spend a lot of time talking about all of the opposite things of that in that episode. So listen to it tomorrow.
None of this was in that episode, by the way.
I know, yeah. And just like, this is something we did talk about, is that like Marvel is starting to have a lot of different flavors within the different franchises.
And
so
I love
like
it.
If you want that like traditionalist superhero thing, you can go out and get that. It's not going away completely. It's just
watch
every
Black
movie
Adam.
Is that anymore.
And one of those flavors is like gay and lesbian.
You have all of DC to be toxic upon.
There are going to be
Captain America and the things that are more traditional.
There are going to be LGBT characters in the Marvel universe. Just freaking deal with it. Just deal with it.
Just like real life. It's going to be fine.
Yeah. It's a melting pot, everybody.
I have a great, I'm not going to get into it on the show. I'm going to send it, I'll probably drop it into our Slack. It has to do with people believe that, oh, Marvel's trying to get woke, right? Like, I hate even saying that term because I sound like probably what my dad would sound like or something. Mm-hmm. Just kidding. Actually, I don't think
like
my dad
the people
would
you're
that.
Making fun of right now. So.
But that said, there is someone that goes through and exhaustively lists out the way that all of these classic characters, what they were actually combating in society. And the reality is Marvel has not changed at all.
No.
it's a very, very good read, but I'll find that and I'll post it into
it's also one of those
Slack.
Things though where it's like they should be like in the way that all of society is becoming more like aware of different things. Sure. Like it's time to grow up. Like it's all fine.
And if you're afraid that the pendulum has
so
swung
angry and hating,
if you're afraid that the pendulum has swung too far the other direction. When you have to course correct, you have to turn the wheel aggressively the other direction so that you can steady the ship, right? If something was so underrepresented for so long, you're going to have to overcorrect so that you can find a middle place. And that's simple. Like to me, that's so logical. The pendulum has to swing the other way so that you can then find a happy medium. That's just how it works, everybody. So everyone just be calm and be nice to each other and find things to enjoy about the entertainment that's out there. Don't pay money to just go shit on stuff. Enjoy the things. Go into it with a good attitude. I'm in the same boat with the whole Disney conversation. Go with a happy heart and you're going to have a much better experience in your life. I can promise you that. This is coming from a person who struggles with depression and anxiety, and I'm medicated for it. That is an outlook I have to force on myself, and it's super
helpful. You're messing up Andrew's medication.
Yeah. Gosh.
I mean, I think a lot of this like toxic fandom stuff also came up around Kenobi, and I think like there's something I saw like around the end that just like this is it. It's like the real Star Wars fan is someone who likes Star Wars. If you didn't like it, just stop talking about it. Like,
go watch any one of the other 50 things that are out right now. Yeah, you'll probably love The Bear because it's very different than Obi-Wan.
Yeah, like,
have you guys seen The Bear?
Spread the love, not the thunder. Let's be cool with each other.
That's we need to end on that. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Bye. is that it, Patrick? Did you have any more points?
No. Listen to the after the film.
It's gonna read the other review. Is it anywhere near as mean as that one?
Here's the thing. If you're on Twitch, you can go watch it now. It's gonna be in the replay. So just go to twitch.tv/move1podcast. If you're not on Twitch, just go drop us a follow, drop us a sub, and then you can watch it immediately. So it's available now on demand. If you don't have that, then you might have to wait another day or two before it actually hits your podcast feed.
Yeah.
But definitely check out the after the film. It's a good episode. And again, Heather was awesome.
She's super fun.
She was great. Yes. So great. Even if you don't want to check it out for us, check it out for her. And yes, everybody.
It was such a good episode. It made me like the movie more.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And then generally speaking, just stop hating other human beings. That's a pretty low bar, to be honest. Yeah. So
you
would think
it takes more muscles to frown than it does to smile,
but we don't know that that's true.
Well, but I heard it and it works really well in this situation. Okay. Also, did you guys know that the actor that played Napoleon Dynamite? Okay. We are going to get out of this episode. Before we do that, let's roll some dice to figure out figure out the categories we're talking about next week.
One from fun. I rolled a 19.
One from fun. Well, in my character, a 19 also counts now. I have two criticals.
Ooh. Yeah.
But I did get a 4, so I can talk about anything on the timeline.
That's an excellent or time power.
Frame. It is. At level 3, my my character is able to get double the fun.
Is that a race thing? Because you...
I don't want to make it a race
like
thing.
A class thing. Sorry, I meant like race or class power.
I think it's a class thing. I don't know, Patrick, but have to tell me.
I want y'all to know that on my computer in the bottom left corner, it shows a moon because I guess like the moon is outside. And it's one of those like, would be a crescent moon, like a little quarter moon.
Yeah.
But whenever I see it, it reminds me of the emoji of like the Italian hand or whatever. Like that's what I see every time I look down there.
I was going to do words with it, and I decided that's
yeah, but it's like the chef's judgment. Kiss. Yeah. What you always send for like yes. chef's kiss. That's what I just keep yes. seeing on the bottom of my computer.
I love that. Okay, so 19 is architecture.
Ooh,
got a
nice.
New category.
Nice.
The not architecture totally new, of hate.
Fresh.
Yeah. I rolled an 8, and I also rolled a 4, so I can talk about any time frame.
You got music.
Oh, son of a gun.
Okay. And I got a 10, which is going to be books.
Ooh, cool. I have a really good book that I'm going through right now that I would love to talk about.
So. Maybe send it to me because I don't have anything in mind.
I don't think you're
going
to be
right
able
now.
To read it before then. It's very
you
big.
An audiobook? Okay.
It's a 17 and a half hour audiobook.
Not impossible.
Okay. Well, I'll send it to you if you want to talk about it. By then, I'll probably
at least,
be finished.
At least send me the name, and if it sparks, then I'll bite.
Cool. Actually, there's a couple that I've read in the last couple months that you might be interested in. Okay.
Yeah, send me the names.
We're going to call this episode done. You can find show notes and links to all the stuff we talked about over at mofone.network. If you've been tuning in on Twitch, thanks so much for joining the conversation and checking us out each week. If you're not doing that, why not? It's more fun, I can tell you that. You definitely get a different side of the show. You hear all the claps. You hear all the bumps and bruises.
There's
and
lots of pre-show banter.
There's a lot. And sometimes
and
post-show
we all
banter.
With- New Zealand accents.
Yeah.
I feel like I have to.
But then you can just go to twitch.tv/mofonepodcast. Follow, subscribe. Doesn't cost you any money. If you have Amazon Prime, super simple. Each and every month you can give Jeff Bezos money to us. That's super nice of you and him. So do that. You can also subscribe on all the different platforms where you get your podcasts. And then join the conversation on Slack. Go to mofone.network/Slack and join the conversation there. We have so much going on in there all the time. So do that. The community is an amazing community. We've talked about that already. I think we talked about that in the After the Film episode about how this community is not a toxic one. We do have differing opinions from time to time, but we love each other through it, and it's just so much healthier. And so join
it's
the conversation.
Fun debating, not arguing.
Yes. At the end of the day, we all want to hug and go get milkshakes together. But on that note, you can find me at Andrew Sale with 3s instead of E's on the internet.
You can find me at Not Cool Co. and at Comic Palooza this weekend.
And I'm at DN Designers Pod.
But for now, we're going to get out of this episode. I'm Andrew.
I'm Lauren.
I'm Patrick.
Peace out.
Adios.
Okay, bye.